Welcome to your home for Red Fox Athletic News. This is the Hartsville Sports Network podcast. Here are your hosts, Andrew, Damaya, and Antonio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Hartsville Sports Network podcast. I'm your host, Antonio Hicks, and today I'm joined by
Damaya Bishop.
You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, and of course, the home of the Red Foxes, hhsredfoxes.com. Make sure to like, share, subscribe, and five-star rate. So how was your weekend, Damaya?
My week was good. It was just a long week this week and all the long practices. What about yours?
Oh, yeah, long practices, hard week, because, you know, this is like a rivalry game for us, so got Myrtle Beach coming up, so, you know, it's been a long week, no breaks.
How was you excited?
Yeah, I'm excited. I feel like the atmosphere is going to be different going up there to Myrtle Beach. You know, we've been up there for, like, what, 2 to 3 years, and we only, like, I think the last time they came to us was, like, my freshman year when I got moved up, so, yeah, it's like a different atmosphere when, you know, when we travel up there. How was practice?
Practice was good. It was just hot. We were practicing in that old gym. All that sweating.
Yeah, that old gym ain't nothing to play with.
Yeah.
And now it's time for our favorite segment, Red Fox Week in Review.
Red Fox Week in Review.
Looking back on last week, Hartsville volleyball team defeated the Chiefs of Myrtle Beach Tuesday, October the 5th, ending in 4 sets. First set, 25-22, second set, 20-25, third set, 25-18, and fourth set, 25-15. Leading the Red Foxes were juniors, Darisha McAllister, 2 aces, 15 kills, 12 serves, 5 digs, 1 dig. Emmy Isgett, 1 ace, 8 kills, 3 serves, 3 blocks. Brooke Isgett, 6 kills, 22 serves, 1 block, 2 digs. Morgan Majors, 2 aces, 1 kill, 29 assists, 2 blocks, 2 digs, and Sierra Gainey with 5 aces, 3 assists, 25 serves, and 6 digs. The Hartsville volleyball team played against Marlboro Bulldogs on October 6th, ending in 3 sets. First set, 25-6, second set, 28-26, and third set, 27-25. The Lady Foxes will be in action again on October 9th against South Florida Bruins.
And that's our weekend review. We would like to welcome to the show Dr. Charla Berry.
So, good morning.
Morning. How's your day so far?
It's doing great, and it's nice to be back at Hartsville High School.
Yes, sir. So, where are you from originally?
I was actually born in Missouri, and my family spent some time in Colorado and Mississippi, but we moved to Hartsville when I was 8 years old, and I've lived here most of my life since then. So when people ask where I'm from Hartsville. I'm a Red Fox.
Yes, sir.
Did you play any sports growing up?
I did. Played Little League baseball, and then when I was in high school here at Hartsville High School, I played on the basketball team and played on the tennis team.
Which sport did you like the most, like when you was up here?
I like basketball. That was my deal for a long time.
Yes, sir.
What
sports did you play as a coach?
I coached football and basketball and coached tennis for a year.
How did you like it?
Liked it very much. Enjoyed the basketball. That was my primary interest when I started my coaching career. But things kind of evolved into where I was more involved with football than anything else. I spent, I think, 17 years on the varsity football staff with Coach Lineberger and coached offensive and defensive backs. That was back in the day where players played both ways and coaches coached both ways.
Yes, sir.
So I really enjoyed the football.
Was it like a different atmosphere, like switching from football to basketball?
Yeah, you know, different sports, different requirements, but I thoroughly enjoyed both sports.
What college did you attend?
I attended Furman University in Greenville, South Carolina.
For how many years?
I was there for 4 years. I managed to finish in 4 years.
Did you play any sports in college?
I did. I played on the freshman basketball team at Furman. That was back in the day where NCAA rules wouldn't allow freshmen to play on the varsity team. So colleges had what they call freshmen. It was like a JV team. And I played on the freshman team at Furman, but wasn't good enough to play anymore after that.
How'd you like it?
Liked it a lot. Got to play in some neat places and played against Clemson and Georgia Tech and Davidson and people like that. I didn't play a whole lot. I wasn't one of the better players on my team by any stretch, but I enjoyed the travel and enjoyed the venues that we played in. It was a great experience for me.
Yes, sir.
Why do you decide to get into education?
There were three men, actually, when I was in high school who meant a lot to me. A couple of men that coached me in basketball, and then there was another gentleman who was my guidance counselor. And they had, other than my own father, they had more influence on my life than anybody else. And when I graduated from Hartsville High School and went to Furman, I knew that I wanted to be a coach and a guidance counselor, and because of the influence that those men had had on my life, and ended up doing that for a few years.
That's good. So we heard that you was a high school coach. So, like, what sports did you coach in high school?
I came here in 1978, I believe, as the head boys varsity basketball coach. And also coach football at the same time. And coached basketball here for 7 years and then continued to coach in the football program. I coached for 31 years altogether. But as things worked out, I was primarily a football coach.
When did you realize coaching was for you?
I think early on. I had a gentleman named Hubert Twitty that I played Little League Baseball for, and Mr. Twitty had a big influence on my life as well. And I like sports, and nobody can continue to play forever, so coaching was a way to stay involved in it.
That's good. So what was your favorite moment as a coach?
I don't know that I have one favorite moment. I was fortunate enough to coach on a couple of teams that won state championships, and also coached on some teams that played for state championships. So we had some success in terms of wins and losses, and had a real good stretch there in the 1980s. Great program, and just like you guys have a great program now. But I think the best moments as a coach are when former players come back and visit, and we talk about some of the old memories, but we also talk about what they're doing in their lives, their work, their education, their families, that sort of thing, and that's. That's the most rewarding part of coaching is seeing your players go out and become good people and good citizens and have great families.
Yeah, because you got a lot of people that come back to the community, like when they leave, like any sport from Hartsville to like all around, they just come back and support the community and, try to help them out on like coach them on what to do and stuff like that. Because some kids, they'll think that, football isn't for them. Then they have that good college dude that come back from when he played Hartsville, he'll come back and help him out, and he'll be like, oh, all right, I think I like this. So,
Hartsville's a special place.
Yeah.
So, I know you was a principal. Was being a principal always your plan?
Being a principal was never the plan, actually. if you had told me 3 or 4 months before I became principal that was going to happen, I'd have told you were crazy. I really never saw it coming. But when the job did come open, I think the need was primarily for somebody that knew the community and knew the school and I'd been here at Hartsville High School 26 years at that time, so I met those two criteria pretty well. And our superintendent, Dr. Rainey Knight, was willing to take a chance on me. And I really almost felt like it was a calling at that time. And so we gave it a shot and did it for 14 years, and things worked out pretty well.
What was your leadership style as a principal?
I think as a leader, you have to understand that you're only as good as the people around you, and that if you can surround yourself with good people, that you've got a chance to be successful. It's kind of like when you're coaching, good players can make you a pretty good coach.
Yeah.
The first year that I was a varsity football coach, our tailback was a guy named Aubrey Shaw. And Aubrey was, he's one of the best backs we ever had here. Well, Aubrey Shaw made me a pretty good coach that year. We won a state championship.
That's good. That's good to hear.
And it didn't take me long to understand that as principal, the same thing applies, that if you have good teachers who are doing a great job for you in the classroom, and this is the big thing right here, if the students in the school will buy into the idea that if you're going to have a great school, they're the ones that are going to make it that way. The students create the environment, the everyday climate, the atmosphere. And if you can get the students to buy into the idea that we're going to have a great school, and y'all are going to be the ones that make us great, that's when you can get things rolling. And, toward the end of my tenure, I think we had things headed in a good direction. Things were going well, and I'm very grateful that Mr. Lewis has continued. When I took the job as principal, my deal was something called the Red Fox Renaissance.
Yeah.
We were going to become a great school again. And I'm very grateful for Mr. Lewis and his leadership and others on the administrative team and faculty and staff. I think Hartsville High School is a better school today than when I left. And that makes me feel real good to know that.
What motivated you when you were the principal?
I wanted the school to be the best place it could possibly be for teachers to teach and students to learn. That's our business here, is educating young people and preparing young people for the future by learning every day. And I felt like if I could, with my leadership and the leadership of the administrative team and then the teachers in the classroom, if we could create an environment where, the teachers had their very best opportunity to teach and the students had their very best opportunity to learn, that's what I was all about. I felt like if I could do that, then I'd done my job.
So what was the lesson that you learned from a student?
I don't know that I can think of any specific lesson that I learned, but I'll tell you this, that I did learn from a lot of students, is that we have students who come here, every school has students who come from all kinds of different backgrounds and life circumstances. And you have to understand those life circumstances and the backgrounds that the students come from and some of the problems and challenges they have in order to create the relationship with them that you need to be a good teacher. I told my teachers many times, Coach English heard me say it a lot, that if you have the proper relationship with your students, mutual respect and that sort of thing, that if that proper relationship, if that good relationship is there, you can teach them anything and they'll follow you anywhere. So I think I've been kind of rambling here, but to try to answer your question, that's the big thing that I learned from many, many students, is you have to understand where folks are coming from.
That's good.
Was it difficult retiring from Hartsville after being a principal for many years?
It was very difficult for me, especially the first year. I missed it a lot. I missed the people because, as I was saying a minute ago, you know, my whole deal as principal was about relationships. And when I was gone, that's what I missed the most. Really my whole self-identity was that of a principal of Hartsville High School. You know, that's who I was. And when I retired and wasn't principal anymore, it took me a while to figure out who I was again. And that's kind of how I got into the writing deal. That has helped me create a little bit of a different identity.
Was writing always an interest of yours?
Not always. There was a professor that I had in a graduate course that I took when I was probably 40 years old. This was in the late 80s or early 90s. And long story short, that gentleman had a tremendous impact on me as a student and as a writer. He was really the first person that helped me understand that I was pretty good at writing. And after that, it became more enjoyable for me. While I was principal here, at our graduation ceremonies, I used to ask our graduating seniors to listen to one last thought for the day. And it was a short little, pretty short anyway, I think most of them were 5 or 6 minutes, about maybe something that had happened during the school year or a book I'd read or a quote I'd seen somewhere or maybe a movie I'd watched. And I would write about that and try to present the graduating seniors with one last life lesson at Hartsville High School. And the writing of the books kind of evolved from that.
Yeah, I like writing, but I don't like writing. You know, I got to like kind of get in my groove to write, like be focused, but like, I just don't like writing like that.
One of my big deals as principal is I always wanted our students to write, because in order to write, you have to think. And sometimes people don't like to think.
Was English your favorite subject in school?
No, I was a history major in college. But being a history major requires a good bit of writing too. But I had good English teachers at Hartsville High School and a couple of good English professors at Furman, so they helped me too.
What inspired you to write your first book?
I think it goes back to the graduation speeches that I was talking about a while ago. People had told me for a number of years that they had enjoyed those talks and that I wrote well, and that when I retired and had time to do it, I should write a book. And so I started thinking about it, and I had 14 of those graduation speeches already written. So I had 14 chapters of the book ready to go. And, I did some thinking about some other things that I wanted to write about, and we were able to put together the first book that's entitled Life Lessons, Principally Speaking, and it was pretty successful, and successful enough to make me want to give it another shot, and that's what we've done with the second book I got a better idea.
You already started on your second book?
I'm sorry?
You already started on your second book?
Yes, it's ready to go. In fact, I've got copies of both books here at Hartsville High School today.
That's good. So what do you want people to know about your new book, I Got a Better Idea?
I think that learning should be lifelong. That if you you ever get to the point where you think you know everything, then you need to do some more thinking on that. And people need, whether they're in school or on the job or you know, with family, whatever, you need to continue to learn and improve yourself and try to become a better person and have a better impact on the people who are around you and you know, where you live and society. And so that's kind of the deal with I Got a Better Idea.
Yeah, I can relate to that because, like you said, being a good influencer and being a good role model to people, because, you know, Hartsville is like a small town. So you got the smaller kids looking up to us and looking up to the community and stuff like that. So whatever they see, that's how, you know, they're going to come up. And, you know, we just got to be a good role model and stuff like that.
You're exactly
sports
right.
And all that.
It's important for our athletes, no matter what sport they play, to realize what you said just then, that you got a lot of little kids looking up to you and want to be just like you.
Yes, sir.
We would like to thank you for your time today. We would love to have you back sometime.
Well, I enjoyed it very much and appreciate you having me.
Yes, thank sir. Thank you. You got any shout-outs?
I'm sorry?
I say, do you got any shout-outs, like anybody you would like to shout-out?
No, I don't think. Well, I'll tell you what. I got a little Boykin Spaniel at home named Darcy. I'll give Darcy a shout-out. She's probably driving my wife crazy.
The Red Fox Player of the Week.
Treon McFarland. Welcome to the show, man.
Hello.
So how's your day so far, man?
Been good. Chilling. Doing work.
How's all that testing going for you, bro?
Easy.
They talk easy. Been doing all the study?
Oh, yeah.
That's good.
What made you want to play the different sports you play?
Well, I really grown up doing it and basically saw my brother. Everybody inspired me to do it. So why not join along?
You're right.
What do you like to do in your free time?
Work out. Basically just chill. Depends on how I'm feeling.
That's good. So who's your favorite artist? Don't say it.
I say Youngboy.
Oh my gosh, man. Bandwagon, bro. Why you choose NBA Youngboy? Like, do he get you like do he get you hype before games or?
Yeah, I always hit the spot.
That's
he
good.
Just hard.
Yeah. Fact.
Trash. Do you play any other sports outside of football?
Baseball. Tiger Nation.
You like baseball more than football?
Yeah.
Why?
I grew up playing baseball. I mean, I've been playing baseball way longer than football. And just everything is different.
You got a famous baseball player, like, you look up to?
Nah, but the one person I do look up to is my boy DP.
Yeah, DP is a good person to look up to. I ain't gonna lie. I looked up to him when he was here, too, because his drive and motivation, like, at that, like, even in baseball, every play, he made sure he go his hardest. Football, he made sure he go his hardest. So, yeah, I definitely looked at him, too. So, what is your favorite food, bro?
I say quesadillas.
Quesadillas?
Yeah.
That's what's up. What kind of quesadilla, though?
Chicken and cheese grill.
Chicken and cheese. I was about to say, uh-uh.
That don't smack.
What do you plan on doing after high school?
I'm trying to get an offer for football, but from Clemson. But if that don't work out, I just continue with baseball and go to Clemson. Then, therefore.
What made you want to go to Clemson?
Well, it's all a dream. That was my dream school. And eighth grade summer, playing baseball, I got an offer, my first offer, actually. And they offered me big time, so I went on, joined on.
That's big. That's big, especially eighth grade, middle school.
Telling me.
That's really happening, so that's big.
That don't surprise me. I don't know.
So who was your hero in your life?
My parents. Without them, I wouldn't be here. I mean, they keep a roof over my head, do everything for me.
Yeah, a lot of people say their parents, too, because, you know, a lot of people look up to their parents, and their parents is, you know, they teach them lessons throughout life and stuff like that. So, yeah, I can definitely relate on that.
Yeah. What's your hardship?
Oh. Like, towards the end of the summer, it was actually sometime before a 707 event. And it was about to go, and I got a call from DP saying that my mom got shot.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And then ever since then, I was sitting at Bali Park the other day. Me and Quiz, we were just hitting, working. And I drove, it was like this car just circling our car, like out of nowhere. And so we got in the car, we went back to the house. They followed us all through Hartsville. Been making cuts and everything.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy to hear that. Yeah, no, nobody wants to hear that somebody close to them or the mom, especially the mom, because the mom is closer to them in life. So nobody wants to hear that. So, yeah, that is crazy in life. So, you know, to top it out, I've been talking about some sad things just now. So what is your highlight?
My highlight? Man, everything my highlight. Waking up every day, coming to school. It might not seem so good, but, I mean, you get another chance to do it. Coming every day, playing football with the boys, Antonio, and basically living the dream.
That's what's up.
The topic of the week.
How does high school sports benefit students / schools?
I'm going to go first because, okay, it depends. Like, some teachers, you have some teachers that give you a load of work. You got some teachers that actually feel bad for you and then just, like, give you a little break. A be light on you, but
you like the teachers that be hard, ain't it? Yeah.
No.
Yeah. It's like, nah.
It's actually like now I have a lot of work to do, so I try to do majority of my work in school because I know as soon as I get out of practice, I'm going to be drained, tired. And after that shower and I eat, it's over with. I just do majority of my work at school.
One of them is you automatically make a group of friends. And yeah, you will make a group of friends, but it's like the friends that you put yourself around. So, like, you know, you got to surround yourself with good people, and good things that come from those good people. So you can't surround yourself with, you know, a bad group of people, because then that's going to lead you down the wrong path. You know, you got to be with people that's on the same thing you on, and that will want to motivate and elevate you.
Right. They ain't got some people that be just trying to be your friend because they know you got something going for you, but they don't got nothing going for themselves.
Yeah, just there for the ride.
Yeah. Just slowing you down.
But you won't never notice it until a mistake happen. Right. And that's when the true colors come out.
Yep. And another one is you will know how to handle failure. My coach is talking to me about this. He was like, you will learn how to handle failure, but, you know, it's how you deal with it is the outcome. So, you know, don't let that failure, you know, bring you down in that moment, or let that stick in, like, don't hold grudges on that failure, you know. Don't let it hold you down. Like, you know, learn from that failure, you know, do better and overcome that failure is what my coach told me. So what you think about that?
I actually agree with what you were saying. Like, yeah, just – like, let that be a learned lesson and just keep going.
That's good. But what about you, Tria?
On top of that, about the grudges, I heard that, my dad told me don't never hold a grudge towards somebody, because holding a grudge towards somebody is like you drinking poison and expect somebody else to die from it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. I ain't going to lie. I think I forgot who told me that in my life, but, yeah, you're right about that, though. Interacting with different people Yeah, interacting with different people, because like certain people can get you certain leeways in life, right, that you know that you would expect, but you know wouldn't expect at the same time. So like I heard that you and Cam was good friends, Cam Cannarella. Yeah. And you know y'all are good buddies, and both of y'all are two good people. So two good people, you know, leads to good things in life, you know, and at y'all interacting with good people and stuff like that, you know, good things gonna come in life and stuff like that. So what you think, Demai?
I think that it's always good to interact with people and voice your opinion, because somebody else might be thinking the same thing you thinking, and y'all can just instantly click.
Yeah.
And just start agreeing with each other. So yeah.
Yeah, just surround yourself with, you know, the right type of people.
Yeah.
And you can go ahead and take that one.
Well, I don't really know how to say this, but you become a well-rounded person. Like, I'm not sure. Because, like, you got people looking at you, like, everywhere you go. But you don't notice it.
Yeah.
And then they'll tell somebody else, and then it'll get back to you eventually. Like,
yeah, and then you got to straighten up.
Yeah, you'll be surprised how many people actually got their eye on you.
Yeah, so, you know, you got to be a good role model in, out of school, wherever you go. So you just got to become that person.
Yeah.
What you think about that, Tria?
Let me tell this story. I was like, one time I was pumping gas for my dad. But this was when, like, my dad played football in high school, hurt his knee, had surgery on his knee and all that. And, like, for some reason that day, he couldn't walk or anything. Like, his knee was swelled up. So I was pumping gas for him, and I get back in the car. We drive home, and then next thing you know, Nolan McKinnon's dad, can't remember his name, but he followed us home. And out of nowhere, he gave me $100, bro, for doing that. And I was like, what is this for? And he was like, you being respectful and helping your dad out. And I was like, all right, thanks.
That's good. See, you never know when people watching.
And
you know,
respect take you a long way.
Yeah, it takes you a long way. Well, that's it.
So, do you have any shout-outs?
Shout-out all y'all for having me down here. I mean, appreciate that.
For sure, for sure, for sure.
Antonio, you got any shout-outs?
Shout out to the whole team this week. You know, they've been grinding. Yeah, working, grinding, focused. You know, doing some hardcore drills, you know, to prepare for this big week. You know, because the Seahawks atmosphere and them, they're not easy. It's not like we can go down there and, you know, just run them over. So, you know, we got to stay focused. We got to bring the same energy. So, just shout out to them.
Yeah,
telling you.
What about you?
I would just like to shout out my mom and my daddy. Because just like Trian said, they make you happy. Thank you for listening. Once again, remember you can listen to Hearts and Sports Network on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, and of course, the home of the Red Foxes, hhsredfox.com. I am your host, Demaya Bishop.
And Antonio Hicks.
And we're out.
Boom! Trying to steal my thing.
Chrome in the future.